And back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But please hold your calls. This next hour, we were to have had Eunice Ray with us, and Eunice was going to be talking about certainly the implications of female hormones and contraceptives and the many of the medical problems that face women. But I got a call just before we went on the air that her husband, Colonel Ron Ray, a good friend, a retired Marine colonel, fought in Vietnam, formerly Assistant Secretary of Defense, on congressional committees, prepared briefs, many briefs, for cases that have gone to the highest courts of our land. And Colonel Ray wanted to be with us today, so we're pleased to have him with us. Colonel, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, it's great to be with you, Stan. Eunice is a little under the weather and asked me if I would be willing to pinch hit, and there happens to have been some developments in some of the military work we've been doing, and I thought it might be your listeners might be happy to hear a little bit about the attack on prayer in the armed forces in time of war, and the exemplary conduct, the developments in exemplary conduct, or the struggle for whether we're going to have a legalized a sexual revolution in the armed forces, or we're going to go back to the highest degree of virtue and honor as far as the standard, particularly for our leaders in the military.
Well, I think that there actually has been some breaking things just today, haven't there?
Well, there really have been. Let me talk about the prayer first. The Defense Authorization Act, which was probably signed today, I haven't gotten confirmation that was true, had an amendment. It was put in November, but I didn't learn about it until last week. It was approved 99-0. Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma, Jim Inhofe, a Republican out there, gave a speech and asked that the Senate go on record and the Congress go on record as supporting prayer at the service academies, and they were responding particularly to the outrage in terms of the radical groups that had gone after prayer at VMI and had been threatening the Naval Academy and had successfully taken daily prayer out of West Point, the Citadel, and the Air Force Academy. So what happened was a lot of our research on the history of prayer in the armed forces going all the way back to the founding period was used and cited in the speech that Jim Inhofe offered, and it did pass 99-0 unanimously in the U.S. Senate. The only senator who didn't participate was the Democratic senator from New Jersey, who had been the week before elected to governorship of New Jersey and was probably not in Washington at the time. So it's an extremely favorable development. So what we have now is the courts attacking prayer, and we have many members in the executive branch and the Department of Defense and people working with them have been undermining prayer, but we've had the Congress now stake out a very strong position, and that amendment, as far as I know, went through the conference committee last week and this week and was part of the defense authorization package that I believe passed today or may pass tomorrow, and I'll know that for sure. But the signal sent by 99-0 that the superintendents of each of the service academies have the discretion from the U.S. Senate to authorize a prayer at any academy of function is a strong signal. And if you read the speech that was given, and I think I sent to you the reference, so that if they can get it off our website, firstprinciplespress.org, you can actually go and see the historic speech that he gave about the history of prayer in the armed forces.
Hold that thought right there, Colonel. We'll be back in just a moment as we bring our other stations on board here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Colonel Ron Ray, who was formerly Assistant Secretary of Defense during the Reagan administration on presidential commissions, a retired Marine colonel. He has actually prepared a number of briefs. In fact, he's prepared a great deal of material that was used within this last couple of weeks by Senator Imhoff, where they presented a speech calling for a resolution by the Senate that we would try to preserve this concept of virtue and honor and religious belief within our service academies. And you see, it's been under attack. There is a conscious effort to destroy the religious foundations of our military, and by so doing, to destroy the effectiveness of our military. Would you really want a man with a gun fighting who didn't believe in God, that had a moral responsibility to actually function properly and to respect human life? I mean, certainly the job of the soldier is to defeat the enemy, but it has to be done from the point of view of virtue and honor, else, of course, you've created an unruly mob that can turn and destroy everything in society. And this is what's happened in the past when you've had armies that were not based upon virtue and honor. So anyway, pick up the story there, Colonel. You said that certainly Senator Imhoff resolution or legislation was voted on 99-0 in the United States Senate. When was that?
Well, it was done in November, and that was in the Senate. And of course, there's a lot of it. There are over 400 amendments to the Defense Authorization Act in the last 30 days. I didn't learn of this until last week, and a couple people called and congratulated, and got a few emails. Says, boy, they cited you and Dr. Jeffrey's work extensively on the floor of the U.S. Senate, and it won a lot of support. I'll tell you this, a Fox poll, we the people have been speaking out louder and louder and louder as one or more of the, particularly the executive branch of government and the courts have been attacking Christianity and been attacking the very basis of why America's national motto is In God We Trust. Here's what the Fox poll within the last 30 days found. 59% of Americans think Christianity is under attack here. 81% disagree with the statement that religion should be excluded from public life. 93% want In God We Trust to remain on our currency and coinage and the national motto. 90% are for keeping one nation under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. 76% say public display of the Ten Commandments should be legal and proper. 82% favor voluntary school prayer, and 77% believe the courts have gone too far.
Hold that thought right there.
Taking religion out of public life.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Colonel Ray was just citing the recent statistics that have been done. Would you mind reciting those once again? I think they need to be repeated, and some of our listeners didn't hear them. Recent poll show?
I'd happy to do that, and it's in that press release that I sent you earlier, it'll be on our website here very soon. This is what a recent Fox News poll of a large number of Americans. 59% of Americans believe Christianity is under attack in this country. 81% disagree with the statement that religion should be excluded from public life, the position of so many of these radical groups, the ACLU and others, after prayer. 93% want In God We Trust to remain the national motto and in our currency and coinage. 90% are for keeping one nation under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. 76% say public display of the Ten Commandments should be entirely legal. 82% favor voluntary school prayer. And 77% believe the courts have gone too far in taking religion out of public life. That's a very, very strong statement, and obviously, I think as one outrage after another parades before us, and there was one recently. A federal judge, David Hamilton, over in Indiana, ruled on December 1st that the official prayers, which open daily sessions in the state legislature of Indiana, must no longer be discernible as Christian or any other religion. There can no longer be any references beyond some sort of unknown generic God, which does not identify a particular faith. In other words, a Jewish chaplain or a Christian chaplain or a Catholic chaplain couldn't offer up a prayer. It had to be some sort of watered down, a generic faith, which is similar to what Sandra Day O'Connor was urging last year in the Newdow case, the One Nation Under God, the Pledge of Allegiance case. She was urging that we take a concept of ceremonial deism And as she defined that, and as other revolutionaries have defined that, is one that in which there's no worship or prayer, and certainly no divine providence. In other words, it would have to be something that we are only keeping in there as an empty custom with no real meaning.
Because there really is, ladies and gentlemen, there is a conspiracy against Christianity. There are people who hate Christianity, even though this is the very foundation of our society. But they realize if you can take the religious belief out of this country, then you can take the freedom from this country. Because here in America, different than any other nation in the world, our founding documents state that our freedom comes from God. And that's the one thing they do not want the American people to know.
Well, there's an awful lot of support from we the people. And the Senate and the Congress has been most responsive. Of course, now, this is important, and most of our representatives don't know, and most citizens don't know. They've heard a phrase called civilian control of the military, which goes back and originates with Robert McNamara. And his middle name was Strange, which I think somehow there's some real poetry in the fact that his middle name is Strange. He said that civilian control were the guys in the suits in the Pentagon. But that the civilian control is not that they're civilians. The power of the Pentagon is all military power and flows from the commander-in-chief authority of the president, who isn't supposed to be commander-in-chief 24/7 all the time. That was a distortion of the Cold War. Congress is the civil authority, and they have the right to make the rules and regulations of the land and naval forces, because that's their most responsive to the American people. And the idea of the war power and such is so important. Instead of just the commander-in-chief authority the president has, which is very limited, Congress has the power to provide for the common defense, the right to declare war, the right to grant letters of marque and reprisal, to make rules concerning captures on land and water, the power to raise and support armies, the powers to provide and maintain a navy, the power to make rules for the government and regulation of the land and naval forces. There's 12 specific powers given to Congress for the control of the civil authority, not the military authority, the civil authority over the armed forces in terms of funding them, training and preparation and whatnot. Not that they won't take advice from our military leadership, but they really have the control of the military, which has been abdicated throughout the Cold War and since. Abdicated to the president, who acts like the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marine Corps, and the Coast Guard or his private bailiwick to do with as he pleases.
But
so it's very important that Congress has tried to protect the right of daily prayer at the service academies and in the armed forces.
Well, what about the president? What has he done to try to ensure a continuation of prayer? After all, he is a Christian. You would think that he would be leading the charge to actually maintain prayer in our service academies.
Best of my knowledge, he hasn't opened his mouth on this particular matter, and he didn't. You know, we wondered about that. I've been involved in defending prayer at VMI since before September 11th, 2001. Candidly, I was surprised. The radical groups going after prayer included the ACLU, who was taking the lead. The briefs were supported. The ACLU was supported by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, and the American Jewish Committee. But those groups, I thought, when 9/11 occurred, and what was the first thing the president did do after 9/11? He called the nation to prayer. Congress had a prayer meeting. Citizens were asked to pray. And in the face of that, these radical groups were trying to take a non-denominational mealtime prayer out of the Virginia Military Institute and were writing letters threatening the Citadel, West Point, and complaining about the Naval Academy's daily prayer, as well as at the Air Force Academy, to the extent that since 9/11, West Point has pulled back on its prayer, the Citadel did, and the Air Force Academy has pulled back on its prayer. George W. Bush has not, to the best of my knowledge, spoken out on this issue.
Now, maybe he doesn't think it's very important, but, of course, one of the things I've learned from you, Colonel, is the fact that the military is different than the rest of our society. There are different rules for the military because, of course, they cannot have a democratic society as the rest of us have. They have a totally different sets of rules and different sorts of moral requirements for these men. These men who are going to carry weapons and are going to be killed and going to kill and be killed. But they have to be motivated by honor and by virtue and by belief in a higher being. And this has always been the way it is, and this is why our army has always fought so well. The average individual doesn't understand that, or that they have separate military laws for everything.
No question, and it starts with the oath. And in fact, our military is unique in world history. The American military, the oath that's taken when you enlist in any of the services is essentially the same. You swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to bear true faith and allegiance to the same. And you swear that you will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the officers appointed over you, comma, according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice, period, so help me God.
And of course, it's the Uniform System.
Badges and insignia or flag under on his American Army battle dress uniform, that foreign badges were forbidden, and he asked by what authority he could wear a foreign badge, a flag of a foreign government, and a uniform of another government, and be consistent with his oath. He never was answered.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.